Hey church, so good to have you back with us again for another message in our breakout series. This morning we are speaking from the subject, the plank in our perspective, really talking about the fact that it is purpose that helps us overcome. Anyway, I really hope you enjoy this. Take notes, hope it speaks to you. And again, thank you for joining us on another week in our breakout series.
So we're in our breakout series, and you know what? It's just funny how God will give me a title for a series, but then he kind of shifts the way that it needs to go. Like he changes my perception on what the series is going to be. Speak, Lord, I thought was going to be about just us hearing God and learning how to hear God. And the reality was it was about positioning our hearts in such a way that we could hear God, because servants hear God best, because we're there willing to outwork the words that he's speaking to us. And this series is no different. It is taking a turn that I did not really anticipate. And it's really the sense that you and I as the church were made to break out. We were made to be known. But before you could break out, there's something that had to confine you, because you don't need to break out of something that you weren't in. And the truth is this, there's always going to be seasons that require breakout, but it's our mentality on the seasons where we're confined that will determine whether we even get there. So I want to read a verse that I find challenging, that I think sets the tone of today's message, the lens, and how you and I could be the church that we're going to be. In fact, I would say this, the answer we are looking for is not in the place that we commonly look. That's my little riddle that makes it sound like it's deep. I don't have to explain it, but you're like, man, I don't know what it means. He left me confused. He must be smarter than me. If you ever got to preach or you got to do a presentation at work, say things so profound that people just don't know, but they don't want to be wrong, so they'll never question it. Power. We're a full service church, people. Go up to Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth. This entire verse has threads of purpose all the way through it. If you really think about it and you unpack it, it's a purpose verse, because it's kind of describing what you are and your usefulness. You know what I mean? Like it's saying, hey, you're salt, and salt has a purpose. If it's not flavoring the things around it, why have it? It kind of is powerful, because it suggests that the minute this object loses its function and its purpose, it has now lost its value. Worthless to be trampled underfoot. Then it goes again and it attacks purpose again, because it talks about a lamp and a city on a hill. It kind of talks about the fact that who would light a lamp and then hide it? Do you know what I mean? What is that? It's why I've always had the problem with the saying, I've said it many a time, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Why would I purchase the cake? Do you know what I mean? Like the foam simply decorated cake business would have gone through the roof if this was a good thing. You know what I mean? I don't need to eat it. Give me one with foam. Like, makes no sense. And in the same way, if we haven't got the hint already, this is God talking to you and me. So if you did not know your purpose, it's right here. You are called to season and flavor the world around you. Do you know that salt is the predominant flavor profile? You know that without salt, every other flavor profile is actually kind of hidden and nuanced? I know this because I like to cook and I think I'm great at it. But you could put like garlic, you could put everything. If you're Puerto Rican, you put sofrito, you could put everything. Now that's what gets you going. I'm out here reading all week, going into the Bible in the Greek, and I say sofrito, everyone's like, this is the pastor I want to follow. This is the pastor I know. He knows. Listen. Everyone listen. What? If you don't have salt, every other profile is nuanced and hidden. Which is crazy when you think that the one descriptor, which God makes no mistake in the words that he uses, he wants to teach us that we are like this very same profile. When Christians lose their Christianness, not religion, because no one ever got inspired by religion, but everybody knows if they follow Jesus because of the product of the relationship. Man, you sound like him. You remember Paul, like Peter, he's like, I love Pete. Pete is me kind of a person, okay? Just say first, walk out later. You know what I mean? Like, I would have got out the boat and then realized, why'd I do that? There are waves out here. Pete's like, Jesus, like, I've got to go to the cross. And he's like, if anyone comes, I've got you, I'll never deny you. Jesus, like, hold up, bro. Like, before the rooster even crows, you've done it 3 times. So Pete's following from a distance. I got you, but I'm a little bit more quiet back here. And then he gets there, and they're like, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? And you know why they said it? Not because they'd seen him before, but because what he sounded like. He sounded like salt. He sounded like the Savior. He sounded like the one who came to change the world. And here in this verse, it's basically telling us that if we lose the reason that God grabbed us, because Paul says it this way, let me finish the race that I might grab a hold of that which Christ laid a hold of me. If we lose it, we've lost it. If we lose it, we lose our purpose. If we lose our purpose, we lose our worth. And then why are we here? I want to speak to us this morning from the lens of how do we become a breakout church. And I'm not just talking about people church, but the church. The church. How do we be what God called us to be? And I've got to say that the answer to your personal problems is held up in your corporate approach. I got to say that the problem with your joy, with your peace, with your church hopping, with your relationship, with your generosity, it's not a generous problem. It's a purpose problem. I got to say the reason you're still stuck in your personal battle is because you've never realized your battle was never personal. Your battle was always corporate. The devil's not trying to stop you because he doesn't want you to be happy. He's like, listen, I left heaven for Eva and her lack of joy. No. He's like, I risked everything. Now, anybody who's going to bring glory to the Father, who's going to bring masses to Him, I'm going to do anything I can to stop them. You're out here fighting a singular battle while God's trying to tell you you're part of an army. You're out here trying to fight a singular battle about your best day and your joy and your marriage, when God's trying to tell you it's about their joy, their marriage. It's a bigger problem. The reason that we're still losing is because we're not fighting in the right direction. Let me say this. I want to speak to you from the subject, the plank in your purpose. The plank in your purpose. And before I even read the verse, let me say this to you, that your purpose will only be, your perspective will only be as big as your purpose runs deep. The bigger your purpose, the smaller your problems. The bigger your purpose, the different problems you see. Let's go to Matthew 7 for a minute, as I feel that this scripture aptly challenges and expresses and indicates the problem at hand. There is a plank in our purpose. As a church, as people, let's read it. It says this, do not judge or you too will be judged, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then, everyone say then, you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. I love that last part because for a long time I've been like, we're talking about playing. He's like, hey, by the way, some farming advice. I'm like, what's with the dogs and the pigs? Like, what? He's kind of expressing to us stay away from people with planks. Because people with planks cannot see what is in front of them. And therefore they trample underfoot because they think that they know what's going on. And I dare say that this is not a them problem. I want you to say this with me. It's a me problem. Plank people say it's their fault. Plank people say they don't get it. Plank people are very forgiving and grace-filled because it's not their problem. I've got to forgive them. I think there is a plank in our purpose. And the devil has been attacking your purpose from before you were even created. He started attacking your purpose through attacking your parents. He started attacking your purpose through attacking your grandparents. He started attacking your purpose by attacking the purpose of the nation that you will be born into. And our perspective has become warped. Like, I mean, I want to talk to the fact that how do we have the hope of the world, yet we have joy problems? How is it that you make it to your the greatest moment, you're on staff, you're released into your calling, you get to preach, and joy starts to leave? How is it that we're meant to be peaceful, but yet we are the most anxious people that often are on the planet? Anxious because I don't think we're upset by the same and the right things. Hate what I hate and love what I love. Well, here's the thing. How often, self-confession, have I looked at the empty seats and been upset for the wrong reason? What it says about my lack of leadership, or God, am I good enough? God, are you faithful enough? Will you do what you said you'd do? Yet how often have I been upset because there are thousands and countless people who are sitting on the edges of darkness who do not know that God loves them, that there is a purpose, that they don't have to give their life away for whoever's in front of them at the club, that they don't have to live their life dependent on what their mom or dad did or did not say to them. There is a bigger reason that salt is needed, because there is great flavors out there that have not been activated because we somehow have lost our saltiness. Caught up about what someone said, someone didn't say. Do you know how many emails and text messages I get about dumb things? I'll be bold enough and call them dumb because they're dumb. Don't post enough old people on our social media. We're not about old people. Call them old, you're horrible. They're fine wine. Call them fine wine, you're condescending. Man, if we don't stroll the foyer and capture the greatest moment of unity with every single shade, every single background, every single socioeconomic background captured in one photo, we're prejudiced. We post a photo of two girls that are friends, and now we're advocating for same-sex relationship. I said sofrito, but I didn't say anything about jollof rice. Why did I specify New York hot dogs and say nothing about Chicago dogs? Do you not love our city? We don't post something on International Women's Day. We hate the plight of women. We say and express a post on how we're going to love everyone in our city. And the greatest advocate and opposition, or the greatest opposition we received, was another pastor. Lost his mind. Started commenting on my skinny jeans. I was like, bro, why are you getting that personal? So what if I like my pants a little tighter than some? You know what my greatest struggle is quite often when I wake up to lead this church? It's not the world. I don't wake up and the world's angry at me. The world's inquisitive. The world's wondering. The world often thanks me. It's those that have never been that go, oh my gosh, it was such a great breath of fresh air to be here. Oh, what a great thing God is doing. I didn't know churches like this exist. But you know who does tell me and write me emails? Christians. Twitter fingers everywhere. Oh my gosh. Keyboard confidence is sky high. I'm sorry, but your theological Facebook debate holds a little, it just doesn't hold any salt for me. And we caught up fighting. And we don't have joy because we're so narcissistic. I'm not a narcissist, you are. You're not a narcissist? When you walk in a room, what do you notice most? The lack, the need, the God opportunity, or do you notice how people might look at you? Narcissist. Do you notice more about your performance that you could have brought more to Jesus? Or that maybe I'm not called for this anyway because I suck at it. Grow up. Get some bigger purpose about you. Because for as long as your perspective is held up in just these piffy problems, the devil's having a field day. While he's got us convinced that, oh my gosh, God, I just don't even know. My capacity's being stretched. Someone challenged me. I ask people for advice on dating, and when they tell me that that's not someone I should date, get bigger. I'm frustrated. But I don't think I'm frustrated out of emotion. I think I'm frustrated out of a Christian standard. I think I'm frustrated because we're losing. I think I'm frustrated because more churches are closing down than they're starting up. I think I'm frustrated because more people are bowing out of ministry than ever before. And ministry is not those employed by our church, but those that show up on a Monday and say, salt, just arrived. I came to make your life better. I came to make your life better. You know what salt does? It enhances what doesn't even know it's present. There are people in our city that don't even know that there is greatness within them. And we're all caught up on what will people say if we just love on them? Salt. I want to be the kind of person when I get around someone, man, she starts to think, man, there's something more in me. Yeah. I want to be the kind of person when I'm around Bill, he comes away and he goes, man, I never saw that in me. Yeah. When you're around me, you activate something in me that I didn't even know existed. Yeah. I don't want to be the kind of church that depending on the president that's been elected is going to determine our next Sunday morning service. Because our faith is not in that. Our faith is in him. Who he called us to be, because our purpose is clear. I think we have a purpose problem. Come on. We still ask questions like around our conferences. One of the greatest questions is, do I have to pay to register? No, but really, I cannot give me your yes until then. Man, you know what? I don't know. Now, my whole week is do we do that? How does that scale? Oh my gosh, I don't know. Now I don't even know how we're going to, are we going to be able to pay for the seats? Do we have enough people serving? Instead of going, why would we all not be on the same page of, I wonder who's going to walk through our doors. I wonder who we're going to affect. My mom always told me I've got a good smile. I can't wait to show people. Welcome. My mom said my smile will change the world, and I know I'm a world changer, and yes, I believe God, you called me to preach, but before I could preach, I'm going to reach people with just my joy, and so when people walk in and they're down and out, I'm going to be salty. I'm going to be so salty that when people walk in, I'll be like, why are we caught up on the stupidities that the devil puts in front of us? Man, meanwhile, there are people out there, and our reputation's not getting any better. People still calling us judgmental. People still say we don't know how to love. People still say we don't know how to do community. The very problems we see with the church, we just keep feeding into. We have a purpose problem. There's a plank in our eye, church, and we don't even see it. The thing about planks is they highlight specks. You notice that? There is a speck that is only visible because of a plank. This week, I had a revelation of how small I am. Some of you, really, we knew you were like 5'8", but like 5'9". Just, but 5'9". With these heels, 5'9 and a bit. You know how I realized I was small? Around big people, I often wanted to bring them down to me. Small people feel like they always have to level up. I want to be small now. I need to be small more often. I need to be in the right environment. The right environment for me is not being the biggest. There's planks in our eyes. And we'll never be the salty church we're called to be. Let me just reduce this to a level that maybe interests you. When you wake up on Monday, please leave with one level of clarity out of this service. Your problem is not about you. The devil's been trying to hold you up for a very long time. Your insecurity was not placed there by God. It's not true, but it's been put there because the devil doesn't want you to flourish. Because if you win, hundreds cross over with you. If you become salty, the world that you are now in, all of a sudden, the message version says it this way, that we are called to be people that bring God colors out in the world around us. The God flavors. God created every single person on this earth. Every single person has greatness within them. When the church activates and shows up, that salt starts to change things. We've got to understand that the problems we keep running into are because there are tests that we have not graduated from. If I'm honest, maybe too soon to share, but I started looking at our empty seats. And I refuse and I rebuke discouragement. You know why? Because this is my revelation this week. Let's just go point number one for you. God brings the increase. God. Note everything on this earth related to increase and growth, the only person responsible for it is God. We are stewards. We are sowers. We are waterers. We are people that are there. But until we pass the test of character, God does not bring increase. So therefore, we get so increase driven, I can't make my hair grow. You know what I mean? Like, I'm out there in the morning going, I need a new hairstyle. Can't do it. I could plant seeds, aka follow God's principles, but I can't will the tomatoes. I can't will anything. If I could, I'd never have to mow the lawn. No growth. I'd have one good haircut and never let it grow again until otherwise needed. Hair, you're on hold. We can't. It's the Bible that does it. Yet, we are here kicking and screaming because we don't have the increase we want. Maybe you want to increase into a marriage. Maybe you want to increase into a business owner. Maybe you want to increase into a worship leader. Well, stop looking and being focused on the increase. Ask why God is still trying to make you decrease. Oh, but I got good character. Cool, but is your character a character of depth? Because depth of character is different, is very different than presence of character. You might have a character that is present, but do you have a character that is deep? It is the depth of character that needs to carry the height of calling. You got a high calling? How deep's your character right now? David said this, examine my heart, see if there is no offensive way within me. This morning I felt, and even over the last few weeks, I just feel like I want to look at the seats, go, shrink it, God. You know why, God? Because I feel like at this point I could pass that test. Bring it to one, I'll have joy. Bring it to one, I'll still jump, man. I'll get in worship, I'll get in praise. Bring it to zero. You know why? Because for once I feel my heart is reminded of the very first love that I found, which is Jesus Christ, the Savior of all, the one that lifts up the brokenhearted, the one that picks up the mother that lost her child. Peace that surpasses understanding is what our world needs. A city filled with violence needs a peace that can do something in that violent moment. We need to be a salty world. And for the very first time, the seats could decrease and my praise will increase. Because I know my purpose, and my purpose isn't to be accolades. My purpose isn't to be the best. My purpose is to bring Jesus to people and people to Jesus. Yeah. If I get the privilege of doing that on a one-on-one, that's no different to do it on 1,000 or 10,000. Because the 10,000 is filled with ones. If we don't know how to love, we're so hungry for the platform, and every time you don't get it, it's an indicator of you're not enough. Your worth has been in your performance, not your worth in your purpose. Purpose doesn't change. Purpose is not an event. Purpose is not a title. Purpose is not a promotion. Purpose is a lifestyle. If my purpose is to love, I could love the cash register in front of me. If my purpose is to love, my purpose can love the person that just annoyed me in traffic. Purpose is bigger than that. If we're going to get outside of the plank that is in our purpose, let me give you a few tips. One, we've already gone the first one. The second one is this, weigh and reconcile. Weigh and reconcile. You ever ask the question, why did I do that? I'm going to share a story with you that only happens to Christopher Carmona. I'm at dinner, at lunch with my father and his old CEO. This man is highly educated in Australia. I mean, just so many wins. He sits across three different boards of banks and business. He's just like, and he's got like all the rest of us Aussies, like me, Kel, Josh. We're like, yeah, mate, how you going? You all right? He's not like that. I knew I was in trouble the moment I stepped in his doors because he's like, how are you? I was like, I never met an Australian like you before. Crikey. We're sitting at the dinner table. He's talking to my father. And it's already orcs because it's all business people and two pastors. They don't get it, especially in Australia. Because in America, you got reverence for pastors. You're like, oh, pastor. Hey, pastor. PC. Love you, PC. Pastor. In Australia, they're like, so where's your collar? Do you need a collar? Like, are you a priest? Like, we don't what do I call you? You could call me Chris. So we're at dinner, or we're at lunch, and they're talking. I'm so nervous. And he looks to me in awe, and he's like, so guys, what will you do after, as you get married? I was like, we're Christians. I know what we're doing. Sorry, my in-laws are in the building. As if they don't know how we got children. And this is what I say to him. He goes, what are you going to do? I go, well, in the first year, we're probably going to travel and, you know, just do stuff. What money, Chris? I don't know. I was a dreamer. I was on $300 a week. A week or a month? I don't know. It was like, that was dreams. And I go, well, you know, after the first year, we'll travel. And then after the sex year, I meant to say second year. The man was not intrigued with anything I said until that moment. He leaned in. My father was like, what kind of a religion is this? The man was about 60. He's like, they have a whole year of it. But that always happens to me. And I started to ask myself, why do I do that? Why do I clam up in moments like that? And it's funny because they're dumb, stupid, funny moments. But you know what? I realize they came out of, I get so nervous of saying the wrong thing, I end up saying the wrong thing. You ever stop to ask yourself why you do things? It's called weighing and reconciling. Why do you feel upset? This whole verse is about offense. That we get caught with planks. We get affected and then we project on people. Why are you offended? Have you ever weighed and reconciled your emotions, or have you just allowed your emotions to validate where you're at? I feel angry. You know, offense, the actual definition of offense is a perceived insult. Offense is a matter of perception. And I'm sorry, but unless you're going to live in a bubble, you're going to get offended by people. Or you could get offended by people. But who holds your worth? If your worth as a Christian is in being salty, it's not in being loved, it's not in being celebrated, it's not in someone else's perspective. You've got to weigh your emotions and then reconcile them. For years, I had things in our marriage that were just weighing on me, but I never weighed them. Put them on the scales. Put them on the scales and say, do you even belong here? Where is your validity? Is this even truth? Is this the kind of thing I want to be consumed with? Is this what I am called to be as a son of Jesus Christ? Like, should I do this? Like, I don't know. If you're going to weigh and reconcile, you need to choose your truth. Choose your truth. Your truth is what will determine. Your truth is your jury. And every time you sit on a Monday or a Sunday or any moment and you reconcile those emotions, you got to drag them before the jury. And if you drag them according to your feelings are always going to win. But your jury is the one that goes in. Your jury goes in and says, hey, that's not truth. It's not truth. Your worth is never hinged in a moment. In fact, your worth was paid for, that the Savior of the world died for you. Your truth is the fact that whatever it is, but you've got to set your standard of truth. Can I suggest that your greatest standard of truth is the Word of God? And the Word of God in context, in fullness. Yes. Yes. Dig enough to get the full truth, not your aspect of truth. Weigh your feelings according to your truth and reconcile them. Reconciled accounts are closed and you move on. You got to close accounts if you're going to have joy. you got to close accounts if you're going to have peace. You got to weigh, you got to reconcile. Let me tell you this, offense needs a home and it needs a host. It needs a home and it needs a host. Let's stop on the home for a second. Offense needs a home. It needs somewhere to live in. Insecurity makes a good home. Failure makes a good home. Because now, if you feel like a failure, if anyone talks about any shortcomings, it's a home for it. You got to have a home for offense. Can't live in certain places. That's why some people talk to other people that are offended and walk off like, you need to get that sorted. And other people go, I agree. And we carry people's offense. Why? Because we've got the same home for it. But you know what's worse than a home? Is when we play host to what's in our home. I'm not the best host. Like I was laughing, the Gouldings came over for dinner last night. And I'm so focused on cooking well that I am the worst pastor at that moment. Like, don't open up about anything when I'm cooking, because I'm in. Noah Grimes came over once and he's like, is Chris mad at us? Is he mad? What's wrong with him? And Katie's like, no, he's just focused. He's cooking. When I'm cooking, man, I'm in my zone. I need to make sure I cook the meal the way it needs to be cooked. Otherwise, you'll say things about the meal that aren't true. So I'm focused. People be next to me and they're like, Chris, I've had a trouble with drink. You know, I've problems. I've got problems with everything, with unforgiveness. Keep it up. I'm not focused. I'm a terrible pastor in that moment. Terrible. Not a good host. But I've been to people that are good hosts. Man, they make you so comfortable. We got a friend in Australia called Renee. She's the guy, something about her ability that when we come home, you just come over and you don't even know her. You're just like, just shoes off. You're like, I'm not. I'm too intense. I'm like, what's next? What are we doing? We good? You want to? What are we doing? What are we doing? I want to do something. People are like, we came over to do nothing. I'm like, that's not an option. Let's do something. Hosts make people feel comfortable so that they never leave. Are you hosting an offense? You know what I mean? Like, it's in your home, but you're creating it the perfect environment to stay. This is how you host an offense. First, you got to give it a drink of justification. Give that offense a drink of justification. Oh, and the offense will live so comfortably, it'll never want to leave. Second thing, give it a starter of everyone. Everyone is never everyone, mind you. This is what I've learned in ministry. Everyone is never more than three people. Chris, everyone's saying this right now. Who's everyone? I got these three people. Okay, there's like another 2.7 million in our city. I don't know that that is the vast majority that constitutes everyone. Then serve at the main course of unforgiveness. Offense, it thrives off of a good meal of unforgiveness. A little bit of salt on it, they love it. Are you playing host to some offense? Are you feeding it? Just know this, the only person offense robs is you. If salt loses its saltiness, what is its worth? Church, we got to get back to being a breakout church. And a breakout church does not have a plank in its perspective. A breakout church does not have a plank in its purpose. Here's the thing, a plank will always focus on specs. You got to ask yourself, weigh and reconcile. Is the problem you're talking about a spec? Because this is my revelation with church. In a perfect world, we would fix everything. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this? Can I just say this as well? Bit of a hint. Excellence is not about having enough. It's about learning how to achieve what you got to achieve with what you have. Excellence is often hidden where people can't see it. Like in the back, where the donuts are. It shouldn't just be in boxes. Excellence is, I'm giving examples for the sake of it. Planks. If I could, I'd fix this. It would take some more resource in some ways, or someone with a sewing kit. I'd fix everything. We'd have our own building. I don't think we have a generosity problem in our church. We've got a purpose problem. We need more people serving. We don't have a service problem. We got a purpose problem. Some people won't serve until the right position makes itself available. Let me tell you the right position, the one we need. That's the right position. Yeah. It's not always the most glamorous. It's not nice, but it's the one we need. We need more people that pick up paper, don't step over paper. I wonder if we're getting held up because God's watching. Stepped over that paper. I'll never give you paper to write a message on. In my opinion, I would love to fix every little nuance. But I know this. Not every nuance will probably be fixed by the time we get to heaven. So what would make sense? I think it would make sense to prioritize at the top of the list and make our way down. I would love to fix everything on a Sunday. But when we come in on Saturday night, are we concerned with the wrong thing? Or are we coming in going, man, there's so many problems, but hold on, back to it. Salvation, hope, love. How do we give hope to the hopeless? How do we love in such a tangible way that we become so salty that people go, man, we live in a crazy world. Don't let the crazy filter of the world become the way you filter your church. I'm just going to end on this example. On the weeks where our society is most prejudiced is the weeks that I get most emails about anything of that nature. On the weeks where the society is supposed to celebrate women are the weeks that I get those emails. You know why? It's not because I think we do bad. If you know our heart, we do as best as we can right now. But you know what it is? You ever notice when something hurts, you realize it's there more? Like, I never noticed this part of my elbow until it's hurt. You ever, like, play indoor soccer, sometimes graze my, you know, and then I walk past. I must be bumping people all the time because I'm just, you know, fit, wide, bulked, you know, whatever you want to say. It's not about me, guys. Take, you know, whatever. Must be bumping people all the time. Don't even notice. But when this is grazed and I bump people, I'm like, start getting angry. In this one example, I remember, specifically was like this. Why is it? Flip and watch yourselves. Didn't realize how inconsiderate people are. They're not inconsiderate. I'm just injured. Weigh and reconcile your injuries. There's a thing called death by 1,000 cuts. Just 1,000 cuts that eventually make you bleed till you can't walk no more. The small cuts are the ones we think we could go without. As humanity, we often go, oh, it's not a big deal. Death by 1,000 cuts. Rather than blaming people for what makes you uncomfortable, ask yourself, are you uncomfortable because they were wrong or are you uncomfortable because you're injured? Let's get the plank out of our purpose. I believe the best day is ahead of you. I believe even when you're not living in your destination of your dream, you can still have joy. You can still have peace. You can still bring excellence. You can wake up every morning and love life and love people. Let's have fun in church. Let's jump during praise. Let's not be so concerned with what's not happening. Let's have the right result. Let's get to Sunday morning, Saturday night, and be excited about the morning because of what God's going to do and who He's going to bring. Let's be people with purpose, not planks. Purpose is always fueled by more. I want to encourage you. God's got a plan for you.
So, as we come out of that message, I really hope that we can take away some of the principles like weighing and reconciling what we think and feel against the truth of what God is calling us to be. We're called to be salt and light. We're called to change the world. And as we focus on the right things, it's funny how purpose helps us overcome. So, hope that spoke to you. Hey, we got some great things coming up in the life of the church over the next few weeks. We've got People College starting. So, if you're interested, you could find out about that. We've also got Fashioned coming up, which is when we gather the movement of our women that come together around the fact that God fashioned them for such a time as this. So many good things to be a part of. Why don't you follow us on our social media at People Church on Instagram? You can keep up to date with all the great things that are happening. And for all of those that partner with us through giving, can I just tell you that your generosity makes a way for our future campuses and for loving people practically in the city of Chicago and throughout the world. So we just want to thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for believing with us. It is your influence as much as it is ours. We will see you here next week for another series of Breakout.